statement. We'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into the lesson on to on tonight. Father God, we glorify you. We bless you as always. You are just vitally important to us in every facet of life. And we just praise you in the name of Yehoshua for all that you do and the things that you reveal to us. And we just, again, thank you for being who you are in our lives. In the wonderful name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. Now, what I want to discuss tonight is a topic, and I don't really know what to call it. We'll figure it out, I guess, as we go on. The topic is very important. As my brother-in-law Virgil was saying when I walked in, he talked about how we went and got the spring water and things like that. And so there was a conversation that arose from a perspective of certain things that are written by. Certain things that are written by individuals in reference to Christ. And so, I don't want to go into detail of the question that my brother-in-law had asked, but in a nutshell, he asked about, I'm just trying to find it here, so y'all just kind of bear with me. Okay. And so, in a nutshell, what he asked was, matter of fact, Brother, I'll let you ask the question. You had a conversation with a friend, and the conversation that you had with a friend caused you to ask me a question. So, based upon that, it just kind of speak up so that everyone can hear you. Based upon that question, if you remember, ask me that question again. You had asked me, had I heard of Jesus speaking from the cradle, something like that you said.
Right.
And so just ask or just bring up that topic again, and you was asking me based upon what was brought to your attention. So.
Well, the question was posed to me. Could he speak, and did he have his right, was he in his right, in his mind, that he could speak as being a baby? Did he have knowledge as being a baby?
Okay.
That's the question that was asked.
Okay, and that's the question that he asked me, and I was like, I haven't read that in the scripture. Well, another individual was with us. A friend of mine was with us. Well, that's in books that he has read, and so we started having discussions about certain things. And from that discussion, it was like a conclusion. And I want to warn y'all about the same thing. It was like in this discussion, there was a mindset that basically said, if you're not willing to accept more information, then you refuse to grow. You're refusing to grow. That was along the vein of that conversation. That okay, there's more information out there, and if you're not willing to look at this information and be willing to grow from this information that's out there, then you can't grow. Well, you try to
say that's a far premise.
Well, here, you take this into, let's just get this up.
just going to say that's a flawed premise because there's always a bunch of information out there. Whether that information is credible or not is what you have to determine. I can have information that say anything you want to say, but that don't mean that information is credible.
That is a vital, important bit of information that you just heard. Because my argument, and what my friend and I, what we will do is we will call it an argument. We will say, okay, we're going to have an argument. Well, what we understand because of our relationship is that when there is an argument, what we're doing is sitting down having a discussion. It's not like we're having a fight about it, you know, but we're having a discussion because what we're both making an effort to do is to try to come into an understanding of the Most High, yeah. That's our goal. And so from the arguments that we have turned in between one another, he shared information because he has a lot of information. There's a lot of things that he does understand. He reads a lot. He does a lot of reading, which is a good thing. And so I said a good thing to a certain perspective. I'll stick with that. It's a good thing to a certain perspective, and this is that perspective. When you're able to do what Elder just said, I can gather, because we mentioned 2 Timothy 2 and 15, which is the scriptures that study to show thyself approved unto God. So the question was brought up, what does study, you know, what does it mean when you study? And I was like, well, you make every effort. So when you make every effort, you gather all of the information that you can along that subject matter to understand. But here's the primary focal point. If you're gathering information, that can be dangerous if all you're about is gathering information. So what I want to teach y'all from this perspective is not to just gather information, because all information, I'm going to say it from the perspective of money. Money is good, but all money is not good money. Information is good, but all information is not good. When does information not become good? When the information contradicts truth. Now, a person said, well, okay, how do you determine truth? Well, my perspective, I'll bag up because I don't want to, no, I'm going to stick with that. My perspective is based upon the scripture, because the scripture is what guides my mind, okay? So my perspective based upon the written word of Yah is on two laws that we always apply. For precept must be upon precept, Isaiah 118. For precept must be upon precept. Commandment must be upon commandment. Line upon line. Card linking together each word. Linking together the scriptures. So every information that we gather, and it's okay to look at a lot of information because when Yah first told me who we were as a nation of people, then these are things, what he told me was this. He said, I want you to study. I want you to study, as in make every effort. And then he went on to say, now with the way you study it, is you study it from a historical perspective, a scientific perspective, and a geographical perspective. But here's the key. He said, you make sure all the information lines up with the scripture. So whatever I read, whatever information that I gather, if there's any other information out there about Christ, about the Mashiach, the Messiah, then that information has to coincide with the information that's in the scripture. Okay? You had something?
But if it can't be confirmed with scripture, we can't teach it.
We can't teach it. Now, ain't that what I said? One thing I said, here's one thing that because the brother said, well, yeah, he said, I heard him that he said Christ did speak from the cradle. I said, well, my perspective is this. I said, if I can't confirm any so-called truth by the truth, the scripture, I said, then I can't teach it. And I'll never accept it as doctrine regardless of what information a person showed me. Go ahead.
And I think it's twofold. When you look at the scripture itself, I think the details that are relevant to the story that Yah is trying to tell is what he put in the scripture.
Right.
So if it's not in the scripture, let's say it is true, but from God's perspective, if he didn't put it in there, it is not relevant. It's not something that matters for the message that he's trying to convey.
Now, I'll give you an example of that. From all the years that I have looked at the scriptures, the United States is not in the scriptures. Or at least you can't pull it out and look at something and say, that's the United States in this verse right here. Like you can look at it and say, well, that's Jerusalem in this verse right here. So although what Elder mentioned, there is factual information about the United States. If that information is not in the scripture, it doesn't mean that the information is not true. It's just that I will not teach it according to the scripture. I may say, well, this is what this here says. The United States was formed and was it 1776? I can't remember. I think 1776. And so I will say based upon American history, the United States was born in 1776. But I won't take now the United States and try to put it in the scriptures because it doesn't coincide with certain things as far as the scriptures is concerned. So I can look at certain data and know that that data is true, but when I start now to take that data and place it in the scripture and the scripture don't say it, now I'm putting myself in a bad situation. Because now I am saying that this data that I have over here is smarter or wiser than Yah who wrote the book. Okay? And so here's the question that I brought up. I said, now, let's approach this from a perspective of truth. You know, when we got by ourselves, I said, let's approach this from a perspective of truth. You and I can agree that all of the prophets, I'm going to say all of the prophets of the scriptures were inspired by Yah to write what they wrote. All of them. All scripture, this is what the scripture said. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yah. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We'll just go there just to pull it up to show that this is 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture here, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 says that man of Yah may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So all scripture is inspired. So here, this was my question, and then we're going to deal with some things associated with that conversation. So my question was this, okay, since all scripture is by inspiration of Yah, then everyone who says something about Yah or the Messiah, the Mashiach, Christ, Yehoshua, then all that information, if they're going to make a statement, it has to be inspired by Yah before it can become factual information that can be taught to mankind. If I call myself a prophet and Isaiah, that's in the scripture, calls himself, I'm just saying that for the sake of conversation, almost that sense. Since I'm calling myself a prophet and the scripture is calling Isaiah a prophet, then that's a fundamental principle that we have to understand. Yah should be dealing with both of us. And if he's dealing with both of us, that was my question. If Yah is dealing with all of these prophets, shouldn't they be saying the same thing?
They just contradict one another.
Shouldn't be no contradiction. If I am being led by the Spirit of Yah, and Alan is being led by the Spirit of Yah, Elder here, if he's being led by the Spirit of Yah, then when we go to a specific verse, we should be pretty much on the same page. In other words, I shouldn't go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, and said all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And then elders go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, and he said some scriptures are given by inspiration of Yah. That's a contradiction. I'm saying all is given by inspiration of Yah. He's saying some is given by inspiration of Yah. But yet, he wrote a book about his, and I'm reading what the scripture said. Who are we going to believe that's coming from Yah? The scriptures or the book that he wrote? So what you see men doing in these days is they are writing things and saying that this is the truth, and they're saying, I'm a prophet from Yah, but yet the prophets that have been acknowledged by Yah is saying something different than what they say. So now I can't take elders' information and say, you just refuse to grow. When the information he's offering me don't line up with the information that's in the scripture. That's crazy. That's not growth. That is a hindrance in growth that will cause us to go to apostasy with this false doctrine.
That is the ever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
Well, I've got a question.
Go ahead.
Most people ask me, well, what Bible y'all reading from?
Right. And so here's one of the things that was also brought up. People will say to prove their doctrine or their book. They will say, well, see, the Bible has been rewritten and redone, but you got to understand Yah. Yah is not going to let someone pervert his scripture and then it still be intact to show precept upon precept, line upon line. In other words, if I'm rewriting something and it's not the truth, then I'm not going to be able to find it all over the scripture to confirm that truth. Like you see in other books. Whenever you see other books that are written, that these men are saying are prophets of Yah, it is contradiction from one person after another. But it's often funny that you can go to Genesis, all the way to Revelation, and all of them are having the same conversation to a certain perspective or another, and when you look at them, all of them are pretty much saying the same thing. We just dealt with Daniel, then we dealt with Revelation, then we also went to John, and all of them were pretty much saying the same thing. But when you got somebody saying something completely the opposite, we got to come to the conclusion that somebody is hearing from Yah, and somebody is not. Now, what we're going to do is, Elder, what I need for you to do for me is go to the scripture. You can use any one of the gospels and find when Mary find when. Joseph was getting ready to marry Mary, so to speak, and he finds out that she's with child. And he finds her when she's with child. And then, I take that back. Don't do that one right now. But find a passage where it says, the Savior turned water into wine. That's the one I want to say. Now, I'm going to take you just for the sake of learning. I'm going to take you to where this is written. Now, I'm just teaching this for the sake of understanding. This comes from the first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ. This is where they get this information from. The first it is a book that's out there. I believe it's the Gospel of Thomas, something like that. The Gospel of Thomas, but your main heading of it is the first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read to you what it says in the first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to show you that it contradicts the scripture. Because the question that my brother-in-law asked me was, did Jesus speak from the cradle? So since the scriptures are inspired by Yah, 2 Timothy 3:16, we're gonna look at the scriptures, and then we're gonna look at this first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ to see if there's contradiction to come to the conclusion on which one we should follow. Should we follow this other book that's out here that's written by, I think, the guy Thomas, or should we stay with the scriptures concerning Christ's first miracle? Because I believe they would say this was Christ's first miracle when he spoke from the grave. So we're going to look at this supposed first miracle, then we're going to go to the scriptures and see if it all lines up. Here's why. Because if Thomas is inspired by God, and the gospel, what passage do you have?
John chapter 2.
So since John walked with Christ and is one of the apostles of the Most High God, we want to see if this Thomas here, who wrote the first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ, is also someone who is led by Yah. We're going to put them side by side and see if both of them are saying the same thing. And if both of them are saying the same thing, then we deem both of them as prophets or as apostles or however way you want to put it, as men of Yah. I say it that way. But if there is a contradiction, then we need to decide which one of them is of Yah and which one of them is not. Isn't that fair? Let's put them to the test. Now, the first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ, it says, we're going to start at verse 1 here.
Okay.
Is question mark? Okay. Now, as we look at verse 1 now, can we see it clearly now? Verse 1 says the following. Now you who are listening in social media, if you're in conference calls or whatever, you may not be able to hear this information. I mean, see this information, and you can't pull it up unless you type this information in. I can give you the link where you can read it if you want to. And the link is www.orthodox.cn. I'm going to repeat that. www.orthodox.cn. I just want to reference that. / PATRISTICS. / apostlfatorinfancy1.htm. Now, if someone needs that information, we can get you that technology. Matter of fact, I can kind of forward it to some of you who I have connections to through the phone here, so that they can. Okay, I have a few people. I'm sending you a link to that. Those of you. Okay. I sent links so you can pull that information up on your phones now. Okay. Now, as you open up the link, we're going to start at verse 1. Again, this is the first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 1. Let me see. Let me see how I want to read this, too. I'm going to just read the one in bold, okay? Because this is what this book basically entails, but I'm just reading everything in bold instead of dealing with all of the following account we found in the book of Joseph the high priest called by some chaos. I'm going to skip to verse 2. That he relates that Jesus spoke even when he was in the cradle and said to his mother, and he's relating what he said. Jesus said to his mother, Mary, I am Jesus, the Son of God. The words which you brought forth according to the declaration of the gospel, Gabriel, to you. And my father has sent me for the salvation of the world. Now, Gabriel did say this to a certain perspective, so there's no contradiction to show you how things can be perverted. The only thing is, Jesus here is saying it. That's the issue. It's not that this is not a true fact in verse 3, it's just that Jesus is the one who's doing the talking. That's what we need to find out. Verse 3 again, Mary, I am Jesus, the Son of God. That word which he brought forth according to the declaration of the angel Gabriel to you. And my father has sent me for the salvation of the world. Now, it goes on to say, new paragraph in the original, in 300, in the 309th year of the era of Alexander Augustus, published a decree that all persons should go to be taxed in their own country. Okay, now verse 5 says, Joseph therefore rose, and with Mary his espoused, read again, verse 5. Joseph therefore rose, and with Mary his spouse, he went to Jerusalem, and then came to Bethlehem, so he and his family might be taxed in the city of his father. And when they came by the cave, Mary confessed to Joseph that her time of bringing forth was come, and she could go. She could not go on to the city, and said, "Let us go into this cave." And at that time, the sun was very near going down. Verse 8, but Joseph hurried away that he might bring her a midwife. And when he saw the old Hebrew woman who was of Jerusalem, he said to her, please come here, good woman, and go into the cave. And you will there see a woman just ready to bring forth. Verse 9, it was after sunset when the old woman and Joseph with her reached the cave, and they both went into it, and behold, it was all filled with light, greater than the light of lamps and candles, and greater than the light of the sun itself. The infant was being wrapped up in swaddling clothes and sucked at the breast of his mother, Saint Mary. When they both saw this light, they were surprised. The old woman asked St. Mary, are you the mother of this child? St. Mary replied, verse 13. St. Mary replied that she was, verse 14. On which the old woman said, you are very different from all other women. St. Mary answered, as there is not any child like to my son, so neither is there any woman like to his mother. Now, I'm going to stop right there. And I want to go back up to verse 3. Okay? Verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 says, he related that Jesus spoke even when he was in the cradle and said to his mother, Mary, I am Jesus, the Son of God. That word which you brought forth according to the declaration of the angel Gabriel to you, and my father has sent me for the salvation of the world. Now, this is where this is written in this book it's referenced to Thomas here, but it says the first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ. This one was written in this book. Now, Elder, you said John chapter 2?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this book says that Christ spoke were in the cradle. Okay? Or he did, it was his first miracle in the grave. When he spoke, that was his first miracle. Now,
he was born in the cave.
Now find the birth now. Okay? In the meanwhile, while he's finding the birth, I'm going to read John chapter 2. And we want to see, was this, was him speaking the first miracle? We're going to see if Thomas lines up with John. All right? Now, John chapter 2, verse 1, says, "On the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Yahushua was there." Verse 2, John 2, verse 2. "And both Yahushua was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Yahushua said unto him, They have no wine. Yahushua said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee?" He's not being respectful. He said, "My hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servant, "Whatsoever he said unto you, do it." And there, verse 6 says, "There was sit there six water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the purifying of the Jews." So these water pots were not just little containers, but they were where someone could actually get in there and bathe, so to speak. So these were big pots. There were six of them. "Now, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece." Okay? Now, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm just going to say the water pots were big enough for humans to get inside. Okay? Verse 7. Yahushua said unto them, let me just make sure before.
What you looking for?
Well, it says firkin. Standard measure three firkins, number three.
Like, I think I looked it up before. It's like 20 gallons or something like
20 that. 20 gallons, so it is big enough for a human to get in. I wanted to make sure that was correct.
It's either 20 or 60 gallons. It's a lot.
Okay, so it's a lot for a person to actually get in and bathe, okay? So I just wanted to make sure we were not teaching something that was not true. Verse 7 said, John 2, verse 7, Yahushua said unto them, "Fill the water pot with water." And they filled them up to the brim. You know how you fill something up to the brim. Verse 8 said, "He said unto them, Draw out now and bear up the governor of the feast." And they bear it. Now his mother said they were out of wine. They have no wine. Verse 3. He poured in the water pot in verse 7, water. Okay? Now, verse 9 said, "When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine." So it was water, but it was turned into wine. "And knew not whence it was, but the servant which drew the water knew." They knew it was water, but the governor didn't know. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, verse 10, and said unto him, "Every man at the beginning doeth set forth good wine." In other words, when you're having a party during this time frame, they put all the good wine out first. You know, you go to some restaurant, you know, they'll give you the good tea first, and then the rest of it is watered down. This is what he's basically saying. At most parties or at most ceremonies, they give you the good wine first, and then they give you the bad wine at the end. But he's going to tell them, y'all serve the best wine last. Because the Savior turned that water into wine, in a nutshell. Now let's read it. Verse 10 says, "And said unto him, Every man at the beginning doeth sit for good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine unto now." What does verse 11 say? "This beginning of the miracle did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and the disciples believed on him." This beginning of the miracle did Yahushua. So John is saying this is the first one when he turned water into wine. We go back and read Thomas. Thomas said the first one miracle was when he was a baby. Now that's a contradiction of the scripture. So what this now lets us know is that somebody is saying something that is not true. Who we gonna follow? Somebody that we know for sure walk with Christ, who is the Son of Yah, who was chosen to walk with Yah, and those who Yah ordained to be an apostle. Who we believe? Thomas the Jump. So what you had said in the initial stages of this about gathering information, repeat that information again. If
I said you can gather
You can gather all the information you want, and you can have information that can tell you anything, but if it's not credible, then what value is that information?
Now, in order to make sure we're rightly dividing the scriptures, I want to define the definition of beginning in verse 11. When it says this beginning of miracles, the word beginning means a commencement, chief, in order of time, application of order, rank, the first. So when you look at the beginning, the scriptures is saying this is the first miracle Jesus did. This is the first miracle that Yahushua did. And so when you look at it and now take the word beginning, we just put first, this, in other words, this first of miracles did Yahushua in Canaan of Galilee. Okay? And so it's letting us know that this was the first, and it's also letting us know where he did it. The first miracle happened in Cana of Galilee. So now when we go back and look at Thomas, we'll go back now. So now when we go back, I hope I didn't close it out. Now when we go back and look at Thomas, and Thomas says now in verse 3, verse 2 and 3, he related that Jesus spoke even when he was in the cradle and said to his mother, Mary, I am Jesus, Jesus the Son of God, the word which he brought forth according to the declaration of the angel Gabriel to you and my father has sent me for the salvation of the world. This is what you have people who have read, what is the name of it again, who have read the first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ. In this book, it says that the first miracle that Yahushua did was when he was in the cradle. But John says that the first miracle that he did was in Galilee, Cana of Galilee. I believe it's Cana of Galilee. And so when you look at that, and now I just went there to show you that as a comparison, but you can go look at other scriptures. You can go look at other scriptures to also confirm that when Yahushua was a little boy, he didn't do any miracles. His ministry didn't actually start until this right here. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. It says, then cometh Yahushua from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, now this is before the miracle now. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me. And Yahushua said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus, here's the important part now. All of it is important, but this is the vital part. For thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Why does the Savior say that? Because the Savior was saying, I have to walk according to the Scripture. I can't get off script. The scripture said that I would be baptized. Okay? And since I am here for you to baptize me, you prepared my way. So since I'm here to be baptized you, and you recognize who I am, and you don't want to baptize me, you have to do it so that we can fall in line with the scripture. In other words, the Savior himself could operate outside the scriptures. So when you look at him not operating outside the scriptures, look at what takes place before he did in miracles. Verse 16 says, and Yahushua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Yah descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When the Spirit of God now came upon him, He now was ready to go out and do all the things that you read about him doing according to the scripture. He did no miracle until after this event took place. He did none. And so, as a child, all the way up until, I believe his ministry started at age 33. From 30 to 33. His ministry was like 3 years. From a baby, from the cradle, all the way up to 30. He saw his first miracle around 30 years old. From a baby all the way up to that time, as the scripture, you see no evidence of him doing any kind of miracle. The only thing that it mentions about the Savior before this event here is when he was a boy and he went into the temple at around 12 years old. Went into the temple and his parents were 3 days away from Jerusalem, and they turned around and had to go back because nobody knew where he was. And when he came in, he was sitting amongst the people asking questions and hearing what they were saying. And they asked him, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? And after that, the scripture said he became subject to his parents. From that point on, you heard no more, nothing else about him until this event that you would have seen right here. So when you go read all these other books, and they're telling you that he turned, I think one of them says he turned a stone or clay into a bird, all these miracles that you hear them talking about, it doesn't coincide with the scripture, because the scripture does not mention him, after a baby. You hear them talk about him at his birth. You hear them talk about him around 2 years old. You hear them talk about him when he was around 12. You hear no more else about him until he was 30 years old. But yet, you hear all these books that's telling you all this information about the things that he did when he was a little boy. Now, let's just say, for the sake of conversation, let's say it's true. We can't teach it because it doesn't line up with the scripture. And so I'm going to say it from this standpoint. If it was true, why does none of the prophets mention it? They mentioned this event here that was just read in Matthew chapter 3. The prophets mentioned this event. The prophets mentioned that he would be born of a virgin. Isaiah talked about it. So if you have prophets mentioning specific things about the Savior, why don't they talk about these things to confirm what he did as speaking in the cradle? That's something vitally important. Why would they be left out? Okay? And so when you look at all these things that take place, it just doesn't line up with scripture. Now, what was the other one when he was that you had looked up when he was in the when he was getting ready to be born. Did you look at that? Look up swaddling clothes.
It's in Luke chapter 2.
Luke 2, okay. Now, Luke chapter 2. We're going to go back to that other one, too.
We can go
to the other one and come back.
Well, you got to read first in Luke chapter 2. You know, I got a question.
Okay. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse.
It's talking about the same thing that's in. So you started verse 1, because it's talking about the same thing that you read.
Okay. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed."
So I don't know if that's the same name.
Let's go back. We're going to compare it. We're going to compare, that's how we, you know. Now, he said, chaos.
Nah,
I'll
keep going. It's okay.
Up here, for one.
No, go down. I think it's
that. Oh, you talking about the swallowing?
stop right there, verse 4.
Verse 4? Now, okay, verse 4 says,
Alexander.
New paragraph in the original says, in the 309th year of the era of Alexander, Augustus, published a decree. So is it the same one?
So it's saying in the era of Alexander, but it says Augustus did it. So this is
Caesar Augustus. So, okay, so we just say that's the same. Now, to be taxed, verse 2, this is Luke chapter 2 now, verse 2. Says, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David. For 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was, verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger.
So this says they made it to Bethlehem.
Let's go back. Okay, we're going to compare. Okay, now, verse 3,
so,
4.
Where it says, verse 6, that while they were there, so they made it to Bethlehem.
Okay, so let's go back up to verse 4 then.
Okay.
Verse 4, Luke chapter 2, because we want to show you how to see when things don't harmonize with the scripture. So Luke 2, verse 4, said, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Verse 6, like Elder said, and so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, okay, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Here's another key, verse 7, and she brought forth the firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Let's see what the inn. Let's see if the inn is a cave. Okay? We're just going to play ignorant for a minute. Because there was no room in the inn. Now, the scripture for inn is a lodging place. Guest chamber. Now, when you look at it being a lodging place, a guest chamber, It gives you more of an impression that this is like a form of hotel back in this day. Okay? Now, we're going to go back. We're going to come back to verse 6 and 7. And we're going to go back to where they said his child, Jesus, was delivered. Now. Okay, verse 5. Joseph therefore rose and with Mary, this is from this other book now. Verse 5. Joseph therefore rose and with Mary his child, he went to Jerusalem and then came to Bethlehem so he and his family might be taxed in the city of his father. And when they came by the cave, Mary confessed to Joseph. So this here, I'm going to say this is saying they're in Bethlehem too. Okay? So when they came by the cave, Mary confessed to Joseph that her time of bringing forth was come, and she could not go on. No, it says she could not go on to the city.
Right.
So with this is saying, we'll go back to verse 5, show you the contradiction. Joseph therefore rose and with Mary, with verse 5, and with Mary his spouse, he went to Jerusalem and then came to Bethlehem, so he and his family might be taxed in the city of his father. So he's on this journey. And when they came by the cave, Mary confessed to Joseph that a time of bringing forth was come, and she could not go on to the city of Bethlehem, and said, let us go into this cave. And at the time, the sun was very near going down. Go ahead.
So when you look in John, it says they went to the inn, and there wasn't no room in the inn, so it wasn't like she stopped on her way to say, let's stop at this cave. They already went there and made it to the end. They told them they don't.
They're in the guest chamber and there's no room. Okay? Now, as verse 8 says now, but Joseph hurried away. Does John said it, Joseph leaving. Joseph hurried away that he might bring her a midwife. And when he saw the old Hebrew woman who was of Jerusalem, he said to her, please come here, good woman, and go into that cave, and you will there see a woman just ready to bring forth. And it was after sunset, when the old woman and Joseph had reached the cave, and they both went into it, and behold, it was filled with light, greater than the light of the lamp and candles, and greater than the light of the sun itself. So I'm going to give them the benefit of that. Where are these candles coming from? So,
they talk about the lights in Luke.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay.
It explains what it is, though. It ain't just
okay. Now, that's what I want to make sure. Then verse 11 says, the infant was being wrapped up in swaddling clothes and sucked at the breast of his mother, St. Mary. Now, let's go back to John, Luke here. Mm-hmm. We want to compare it now. And so verse 7 says, and she brought forth a firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Because now let's look at what a manger is, because we want to find out if this is a cave. This manger is a crib or a stall. So then you know that it's somewhere where they keep animals. If it's a stall, okay. So let's move on because we're comparing this now. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of Jehovah came upon them, and the glory of Jehovah shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, but behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David.
In the city of David.
Okay. Now, they say that they were on the journey. Let's go back.
They never made it to the city.
She didn't want to go to the city. This is how you dissect these doctors. That's how you do it. Now, we'll go back. And was it verse 5?
Verse 6
says, and when they came by the cave, Mary confessed to Joseph that a time of bringing forth was come, and she could not go on to the city, and said, let us go into the cave. John turns around and said,
the Spirit of the Lord come up on them and say, he born in the city.
Born in the city. So when you look at these, you're seeing here's how the enemy operates. The enemy gives you certain amount of truth and then add in things that contradictory to the scripture. But it adds you enough truth where if you don't dissect it like we're doing, you sit there and say, yeah, that baby did speak from the cradle. Because if you look at it, it's saying the same thing in Luke chapter 2. It's just not giving you the details of in Luke chapter 2. That's how they do these things. Okay? Now, as we continue on, what verse was I on? Verse 11. For unto you, Luke 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. So the city of David is Bethlehem. So they're in this city. Okay? In the city of David. This say in the cave, or before you get to Bethlehem, it says in the city of David. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. Verse 12 says, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising Yah and saying, Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angel was gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem. What did the other one say? They're in a cave. Why are the shepherds not saying, let us go to the cave? Because according to Thomas, they're not in Bethlehem. They're in a cave. This is how you expose lies. Okay? Verse 15, and it came to pass, Luke 2, verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which Yah had made known unto us. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning the child. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising Yah. Verse 20, for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. You have something?
So I think here there's a discrepancy, right? So, and I misread it earlier, so it looks like the light shone around the shepherds.
The shepherds.
And not around Christ in the cave.
Right. So,
and the light were those angels.
Okay. And so did you go?
Shepherds?
Huh?
What are the shepherds?
Basically, when you have a flock of animals, somebody that takes care of them is a shepherd. Yeah.
So let's just look at the word just for the sake of conversation. It means pastor. So a shepherd over sheep is a pastor. So that's why they classify pastors over flock, you as the sheep, so to speak, as a pastor. So that's what shepherds are, really pastors. Okay? So that's the old saying when they take them out to pastor. A pastor. Now, So I don't want to read all this. So as we look down through here, I just want to make sure before we did you scroll down and see there's no anything else that's showing any kind of light, any kind of candles, or anything like this. There's nothing that shows. It may be somewhere in other passages, but at least we're not reading.
I didn't find anything about him even being born, right? One, it don't start that.
Okay,
after
I just wanted to make sure. So when you look at Luke 2 doesn't talk about a light being in there. We'll go back to the.
None of them do.
Huh?
So this is the only one that tells this story that I read. All the other ones start at a different point after this.
Okay, now we're going to go back to this other book. Because in order for us to stand for truth, we got to be able to expose the lies. We got to be precept upon precept, line upon line, to show the truth from a lie. So when you look at all these events that's taking place from, again, this book that was written by supposedly some guy named Thomas, the first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ, where it says Jesus, his first miracle that was performed by Jesus was that he spoke in a cradle in verse 2. When you look at all other things that's associated with this event, and you skip down to verse 10, it says, and behold, it was all, we'll go back up, verse 9. It was after sunset when the old woman and Joseph with her reached the cave, and they both went into it, and behold, it was filled with light, greater than the light of lamp and the candles, and greater than the light of the sun itself. No word mentioned by John. The word mentioned. The light that they saw was when the angels manifested to the shepherd.
It wasn't to Joseph and Mary.
To Joseph and Mary. Now,
or where they were.
Now
it was out of the field.
now as we see this here,
verse 9.
Verse 9. Okay. look at verse 8. Verse 8, Luke 2, verse 8 says, there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angels of Yah came upon them, and the glory of Yah shone around about them. And they were so afraid, because this is the light that this other individual is talking about in his book, but it's around the angels. And from that point on, they traveled to Bethlehem to see Christ in the manger. That's how you got to take these books and point out that they're false doctrines. So, in a nutshell, did Satan speak from a cradle? I say not, because everything I know not. I'm just saying that for the sake of playing with y'all. I know he didn't, because everything, or at least most of the things in here, contradicts the events that happened in Luke chapter 2. So I can't take it as something that should be added to Luke chapter 2.
And it's twofold, right? So the scripture says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And according even to what you said, right, the devil mixes falsehood with truth. So when you come across falsehood, it brings into question everything else that's associated with the story that's being told. Like if I can prove that this is a lie, then what's your credibility in everything else that you're telling?
Right. And so when a person gives you this type of information, that's how we have to compare it to the scripture. And then you will have people who will have this other information, and because you refuse to accept it, then they'll turn around and say, well, you refuse to grow. I don't have a problem with growth, as long as that growth lines up with the truth. I'm always looking for information to grow, but that information has to line up with what God says. Gather all the information, make sure that it lines up with the scripture. And you remember that anytime somebody comes to you and tell you about stories of the Savior, about stories of Moses, all these other stories, when they come to you and start to tell you these stories, if they cannot confirm it with the scripture, y'all just say that's, you know, be nice. Just say that's too much information for me. I can't contain all that. You know, I'm just kind of raw. I'd be like, nah, man, it's a lie. I can't teach that, man. That doesn't matter with the scripture.
I just have a side comment. I mean, that's the danger of reading other things when you don't really know the scripture.
Right.
Because then you can't distinguish what the scripture has said about it.
Right.
To even know that it's lying to you, right?
That's really, that is a great perspective. That's a really good point. When you see people who take this other information and start to teach that as factual information, that this is actually what Jesus did, then you are listening to someone who has not been in the scripture enough to even teach it. Because I look at this stuff. When we just went over, I look at this stuff and start laughing immediately. Man, this is crazy. Because I know. That's why when it was first brought up, I was like, nah, I hadn't read that in Scripture. It's the first thing I said, right? I said, I hadn't read that in Scripture. I said, nah, man, that's not true. I said, the Scripture says that the first miracle was when the Savior turned water into wine. That was the first miracle according to Scripture. I had the comparison, so when that information was brought to me immediately, I was like, nah, bro, I can't teach that. That doesn't line up with the scripture. So when you have someone, again, that will take all this other material and add it to what you call their truth, that again, that's how false doctrines get out there. That's what's wrong with the scriptures now, or the so-called Bible now. You have all these preachers who have gathered all this information, who have heard some preachers who they think has gotten the revelation. Now everybody's teaching all these fables, all these lies, all these doctrines that has nothing to do with the scriptures whatsoever. So that's why we stay within the boundaries of the scripture. And we say that if we're going to teach it, it has to line up with the scriptures, or we can't teach these things. That's the reason why we say that. Okay? So I wanted to share that with you so that you can understand from this point on. So, brother, now you see my perspective and why I said it on yesterday. That's why. Because when you compare it with the scriptures, and it's all the information that doesn't line up. It's false information in there. And so you have, if there's, as the elder said, if there's a little leaven, in other words, when you talk about cooking some bread, if you put a little leaven in there, then it's yeast. You put a little yeast in there, you put a little yeast in the bread, the whole bread gonna rise. You can't put a little yeast over in the cone and think that part gonna rise. That yeast gonna get all up in that bread before you know it, all whole bread will be all plump and full of yeast. So that's what they say. A little bit of yeast will make the whole bread yeast. So it's the same way with scripture. When you get a little bit of false information, like what we just got by Jesus speaking from the cross, when you take that little false information or start looking at other information that's wrapped around that, and you see that it doesn't line up with the scripture, then all of it has to be classified as leaven now. That means I need to abandon that clearly. I don't need to go there and read that he was in swaddling clothes. I need to stay over the scripture for that. Because that's the only portion of the truth that you're seeing coming out of. Yeah, they did. They were had headed to Bethlehem, but they said they didn't make it. So that's not true. Okay? About the only thing that sounds pretty sound was the swaddling clothes.
And it was Augustus.
Yeah, and it was Augustus. And it will be attacked. So that's the truth. But then the rest of it is wrapped up in a lie. I got to throw that book out. The whole book, because it's all leaven now. Because that information is in there, and it is not correct, I discredit the whole book. It is now all leaven. It's yeast all in there. Or wrong information all in there. That's how we have to write and divide the scriptures. Okay? Y'all understand that?
I just have one more comment. I think that's why it's important to know the scripture, because otherwise somebody can come to you and tell you any bit of good, and you have no frame of reference to tell you for the Spirit to bring to your remembrance. Well, the scripture say this. If you ain't read it, the scripture can't bring to your remembrance what you ain't read.
Right.
So when you read, you can understand, and when those things come, you can be like, that's not true.
Yep.
It don't bear witness.
Right. So as we get ready to close now, Here's the principle, because we're not saying that you shouldn't listen to anybody else. We're not saying that. We wouldn't be selfish to tell you not to listen to anybody, only listen to us. I wouldn't do that. But when you listen to them, this is the rule. This is the rule that you follow. When you listen to any preacher, whatever he says, he has to line up with the scripture. And you have to be able to see it lined up with the scripture throughout the scripture. In other words, if they're telling you something and it doesn't match the scripture throughout the scripture, then you have to discredit what they're telling you. I listen to anybody as long as they're talking about the scripture, as long as it lines up with the scripture. I listen to any information that any other book. As long as it lines up with the scripture. But when it starts giving false information, I gotta leave it alone right then. So that's how you understand it. So from now on, when you hear information, it's okay to argue, as my friend and I, what we do often. It's okay to do that because we're all trying to grow. But at the same time, even people that you may know that you talk about the scriptures with, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But just make sure that when they're giving information that you're not sure about, say, well, okay, can you show me that also in the scripture? If they can't, then say, well, I can't accept that as credibility if you can't show me detailed information in the scripture that coincides with what you just said to me. That's how you stay within the boundaries of the truth. But there's a lot of information out there. Okay? Y'all got that? All right. Yeah. Any other questions or comments?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
There's a saying the old people used to say, although I'm the old people now, but we ain't going to discuss that part.
I can't talk much either, so.
But they said, Hear all you can, but don't can all you hear.
Amen. I'm analytical, so I love information. I'm always doing some form of research, but when I look at the stuff, I'll be like, I can throw that away. Okay, I can keep that. That's some good information. No, that don't make sense right there. You sounded good, bro, and then all of a sudden you went over there. I can't go over there. That don't line up. So that's good. So, you know, as we close, hear all you can, but don't can all you hear. You know, because when you can, that means you're going to have to take that top off and start to digest some of it. And we don't want that to be right information. Okay? All right. Thank y'all for your patience, you know, and allowing me to get to this. I was way across town in Irving, Texas and stuff. Took me a minute to get across town. So thank you for your patience. And we went a little bit over time because of that. We're good? All right. Father, y'all, we just bless you for allowing us to get an understanding. We're not here to put anyone down that teaches the truth. We want to uphold the truth. But that's our primary goal, is just to only uphold truth. And when any information doesn't line up with the written word of Yah, something that we know that is true, that you've inspired men to write these things, then we have to discredit it, or we have to cast it down. And we just bless you for giving us the wisdom enough to know the scriptures enough to make a just determination of the information that's being given to us, whether it's right or wrong. We thank you for loving us enough to share the truth with us. And we bless you in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. All right. Okay.